Please be seated. Brothers and sisters in Christ, grace to you and peace from God the Father and from the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. This is that season when, at some point or another, we all imagine Mary. Imagine this young woman who's engaged but not yet married, still living at home. We don't know if she has older brothers and sisters, younger brothers and sisters, maybe parents, aunts, grandparents. Mary's not disconnected, we don't think. But here she is, this young woman who gets approached by an angel. Imagine. We've seen angels described in the Old Testament. And in the Old Testament, they're fierce and multi-winged and something you don't want to encounter. We don't know if that angel looked like that here. We have a different kind of picture of angels at the empty tomb, where we just see them as bright, luminous. We don't know, so we can vision. But here's Mary, approached by an angel. And of course, the first word of angels, almost any time they show up, is, don't be afraid. Greetings, favored one. You found favor with God. And I'm thinking, whew, what a relief, right? Because if an angel's going to approach me, I don't want to hear the other thing. You know, God's not happy with you, so no. Greetings, you're favored by God. And then this angel delivers this message to Mary that's just beyond belief. Here's the deal, Mary. You're going to have a baby, and it's going to be God's child. We've already named him for you, so don't worry about that. The name is Jesus, Savior of the world, Son of God. And Mary's first response is, how can this be? I mean, that's a good first response. How can this be? And I imagine there might have been a little bit more confused banter there, but we just get that first question, right? But that's the only question that ever gets recorded about Mary asking, how can this be? Because from that moment forward, Mary's response is yes. Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word. Here am I, a servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word. Could Mary have even guessed what was in store for them, or did she just know she was saying yes to God? I'm thinking she couldn't have known too much. Maybe that's why God picked a young woman. Because an older woman might have thought, I don't know if I have a choice in this, but I'd rather not. You know what happens when you're walking around with your kid and he says he's the Son of God? They'll crucify him. Think about it. That's a very subversive thing. But Mary's response that wasn't recorded this Sunday, we only get to hear it every couple years in the lectionary, but I want to read it to you because it's amazing. Mary said, my soul magnifies the Lord. And my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for for he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed, for the mighty one has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham and his descendants, forever. It's called the Magnificat. It's been set to music more times, I think, than anyone can count. But Mary somehow understands that she's plugged in to a promise of hope. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise made to our ancestors, to Abraham and his descendants, forever. Do you remember that promise? When God took Abraham, old Abraham, out and said, Abraham, look at the stars. Count them if you can, because those are going to be your descendants. And you will be a blessing forever through them. That was that promise to old Abraham and Sarah, who had no children. But God said, just say yes to hope. Just say yes to the promise. And we know generations later, through Jacob, to King David, the same promise. And we have it in our Old Testament lesson today. David is finally successful. He's safe from his enemies. He's got a well-maintained military. He's got a good city. He's got wealth. And David says, look, God, the Ark of the Covenant, the holiest of holy things that we can imagine, the source of our hope in you is in this little ark. It's just in a little box. God, can I build you a grand mansion, a grand worship place for people to come and worship to you? Can I build you a house, a temple? Because David has it all and he wants to give back to God. And God says, nope. David, you are not going to build me a house. But I'm going to build a house for you. And that house is going to be a blessing to all generations. And it's going to be forever. In continuity with the promise made to Abraham, your house is going to be a blessing to all generations. And so 1,000 years later, here's Mary. Here's Mary, a young girl, recipient of the promise. Could she have known? I don't think so. Imagine, again. I was just thinking about our Christmas program, the children's Christmas program last year. And the angel came to the Virgin Mary and said, hey, Mary, you're going to have a baby. It's going to be the Son of God. And I don't remember who the one was playing Mary. Was it Danielle or was it Jordan? Said, okay. And I just thought that was the cutest line in the whole show. Like the angel brings this weighty news, this great, glorious, good news. The angel says, okay. And Mary says, okay. And I thought, you know, that's just so out of place. And yet, maybe that was the simplicity of that first Mary. in her youthfulness and her naivete, just saying, okay, I'm going to say yes to hope. I'm going to say yes to God. Mary, in that moment, wasn't saying yes even to a donkey ride to Bethlehem yet. She was just saying yes to hope. Mary, in that moment, wasn't saying yes to being chased by King Herod, wasn't saying yes to having to be in exile in Egypt because Herod wanted to kill all the babies so that he could kill Jesus. Mary was just saying yes to hope. Mary wasn't saying yes to having to go to maybe temple or synagogue and hear how blasphemous Jesus was in claiming to be the Son of God. Mary certainly wasn't saying yes to being at the foot of the cross. Mary was just saying yes to hope. We know Mary was there at the cross, which I think would have been enough to destroy any mother. At that time, would she have wept quietly? Or would she have shaken her fist at the sky and yelled at God and said, I said yes to hope and you gave me this? And yet it was through the cross that Mary's hope, the hope that Mary said yes to, it was through the cross that this hope was realized. The hope that she said yes to in the beginning, that she couldn't have imagined how it would be carried out, that yes, she said yes to, the hope she said yes to in the beginning, was realized through the cross and the resurrection of Jesus. For in the resurrection, we have our eternal hope that connected creation and Abraham and Jacob and David and Mary and us to a hope that does not disappoint. A hope that is eternal. A hope that won't let us go. And so as we look back at Mary saying yes to hope, we ask ourselves, can I say yes to hope? Knowing that life is always going to throw us messy curveballs, but knowing that God's got us covered, that God knows the big picture, can we say yes to hope? Can we say yes to rejecting the ways of, as we say in our baptismal liturgy, sin, death, and the devil? To all the things that the world promises and doesn't deliver on? Can we say yes to love and peace? Can we say yes to the ways of Jesus that were so contrary to the world in his day and ours? The good news of the message of the gospel is the promise is already fulfilled, and God has already said yes to you and for you through his Son, the Son of Mary, Christ our Savior. May the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.